Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another installment of the RF Sports Radio Show. I am your host, RF. I'll be definitely joined by my co-host, Royce. Hopefully, we're having some of the contract negotiations right now, so hopefully he'll join me on the show today. But as y'all know, on Thursdays is one of our best shows. If you guys have been following the show, you know on Thursday we get into picks. Today we're going to talk about, of course, college picks, football picks, get into a little playoff basketball, a little Ryder Cup action coming on, and a lot of NBA teams are starting up training camps coming up this week and actually next week, too, so we get into that because preseason basketball starts next week, too. And so definitely I thank you guys for tuning in, especially those who have been following the show for a while. The numbers are growing and growing, so we thank you guys for your participation in the show, for listening, and for spreading the word most definitely about the show. So without further ado, we'll definitely get started. And for y'all that don't know, our call-in number is still the same, 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You can call in, give your opinion. We definitely like to hear from you guys. So look, without further ado, let's bring on my co-host here, the real star of the show.
How you doing, Rodney?
I'm doing good, Royce. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. A lot of sports coming up. We got the playoffs and baseball. We got the Ryder Cup coming up. We got college football. We got the NBA camp starting up. There's a lot going on. Texas OU weekend, like to look forward.
Right. Exactly. And for those that are watching the game right now, A&M is beating Oklahoma State right now, 21-14. Oklahoma State just scored a touchdown not too long ago to go up to 14. So this game might get close. I think it will be a close game. We'll definitely see. Now, Royce, I hope you're not mad at me. I put our contract negotiations out there for the world to know.
I heard that. And I want to give a shout out to Cyrus Gray. He scored a touchdown. He's local DeSoto boy. He scored on a running touchdown. I was having to be watching the game before the show started. So, shout out to local boy Cyrus Gray. Scored a touchdown tonight. So, that's a pretty good game on tonight. So, I hope we got the listeners in to tune in tonight. We got a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about. Yeah, and I know that a lot of DeSoto alumni like myself are playing on the A&M side of ball, so wish them all the best, most definitely. Now, Royce, let's touch on a little bit real quick. I know we can get to a little playoff baseball. And for y'all that don't know, we talked a lot about the Rangers on the last show, finally making the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. A couple other teams actually clinched playoff berths also. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Yankees both clinched a spot in the American League. Who's going to be number one? We don't know yet. They're actually getting ready to start a series right now. And this is going to really determine who the Rangers have to play the first round. And I think we talked about this once before. I think you'd rather see the Rangers play the Yankees, right?
Oh, yeah, in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is scary. They just recently learned how to beat the Yankees. So I give them a better shot at the Yankees than I would Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay is hot right now. They're real hot.
And David Price is a monster on the mound. He's pitching lights out. I mean, you got to pick your poison really between him and CC Sabathia. But that dome they have in Tampa, that home field advantage in
Memphis.
So I really just happen to see the Rangers make the playoffs, and I think that'd be – I'd give them a chance against either one team, but I like to see them play the Yankees also because we beat the Yankees a few times this season. If y'all don't know the Tampa Bay Rays, they handled us, especially in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely.
Oh, real bad.
And then in the Central, we got the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins have clinched their playoff spot in the Central. They're actually going for the best record in the American League and see what happens. And so we know the West has been won by Texas, who's starting a series against the Anaheim Angels right now. Cliff Lee is actually pitching tonight. We got the Philadelphia Phillies have clinched the NL East. And also the Cincinnati Reds have made a playoff spot in the Central. And the West is what's up for grabs right now. And the San Francisco Giants and the Padres, they're playing the series right now, Roy, so whoever wins this series can really take hold of the NL West.
Right. That's going to be a battle, right?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. So So we'll see what happens and what shakes out on that playoff picture. I know we had a jam-packed show last Tuesday with the callers calling in. We got into a little Tony Romo versus Michael Vick.
Yeah.
We talked a lot of Cowboys stuff. So, you know, we massively missed doing a lot of the review for the NFL, but we got into a heated discussion about the Tony Romo-Mike Vick, who's better, who would you rather have quarterbacking your team. So if you guys haven't checked that show out, make sure you go back and listen to Show 5, especially the last hour of Show 5. We got real, real deep on a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So do you think the Cowboys will win or lose this weekend?
I got them winning this weekend, Roy. I mean, they don't play nobody.
Yeah, that's my joke of the week.
Yeah, I got them winning this weekend. They don't play nobody. Okay. And speaking of the Cowboys, too, I don't know if you saw the story in USA Today yesterday, but apparently Jerry Jones, our good friend Jerry Jones, the guy like Jerry Jones, came out and said that he hopes that the team acts like they lost the game to the Texans. He wants them to act like they lost this week, like they're down 0-3, like everybody's talking about them, like they never do make the playoffs and make the Super Bowl, because he liked the intensity and the level that he saw of the team against the Texans, and he's trying to keep that intensity. He even also likened it to kind of like the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where, you know, you think that everything is this way and it's downhill, then you wake up and you realize you still got a chance to make it all right. So he wants the Cowboys, he's actually came out and been quoted saying he wants them to think like they lost last week. Royce, you think that's a good strategy for the owner to be saying stuff like that?
What I have to say is, come on, man. Jerry's so happy to get a win. Jerry has put everything he has into this football team. And, of course, Jerry wants to win. And the Super Bowl's here and all in the stadium. Of course, Jerry wants them to play like they behind. That's the only way they can play.
Right,
play like they're
right.
Backed up against the wall, right? So if that's what it takes to motivate them, that's what it takes.
What I thought was the most surprising thing about the whole thing is the fact that Jerry is the guy that's saying all this. Where are the players? I mean, the players should be the one talking like this. Even the head coach should be talking like this. Let us Jerry out there saying, hey, I want you guys to keep that intensity, keep it up, keep playing like you played on last Sunday. You don't hear the coaches or the players saying anything.
Well, who knows what Jerry say when we don't hear. So I'm not surprised. That's Jerry's team. I'm not surprised. And I noticed the last couple of games he was down on the field. Matter of fact, he was the only one trying to fight a team up.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think the only real Cowboy news in the players are making, and we missed this story on Tuesday just because we ran out of time, was actually, as you know, the controversy. It wasn't really even a controversy to me. But during training camp, the rookie Dez Bryant didn't want to clear Roy Williams' pads after practice one day. So Roy finally got his revenge on Monday. Actually, Dez called Roy and said, hey, tell the offensive guys, I'm going to take them out to dinner, which is real customary in the NFL. You're a rookie. You got out of the money. Mm-hmm. You take the offensive guys out to dinner. Well, Roy thought he'd get them back by calling up the defensive side of the ball and invite these guys to dinner, too. Man, he did this Monday night at Papa's Brother's Steakhouse, right, where actually Brady James has his show every Monday night. So Brady James started calling up guys to come up here, hey, Dez is buying. And they left this man on Monday night, Royce, with a $55,000 tab.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, that's what he get. He should have did the rookie haze, and that's part of all rookies. He didn't want to participate. So, you know, be careful, young man, because they end up getting revenge on him anyway. So he just should have went along, and that goes for the next generation. You got to pay your dues. So that's part of the agent.
A lot easier.
Those pads. So
right.
That's on him. They got him real good. Yeah, that's a big tab. He can afford it, though. He got a nice.
Well, he can definitely afford it more than I can. I know that. And actually, it's been reported that Danny Tomlinson had the first biggest tab. He actually, when he was a rookie, had ended up paying $32,000. And right. Dez Bryant almost doubled that. So I can imagine. So they were ordering 9,000 bottles of wine.
Yeah, that's not hard to do at Pepper's Brothers. You can get a $125 lobster. So that's not, and I'm pretty sure they ordered the most. Thing on the menu, so Yeah, he should have went along with the hazing at the beginning of the season. That's what rookies do, and you know, you can't be the one to buck the system if it's tradition. You know what I mean? Like, what harm would it do? Because you can do it the next time around. He can do it to somebody else. But it cost him. It cost him. But Jerry may even pick it up if they win. Jerry pay that guy.
Yeah. That's true, too. Jerry just might pick it up. And those of y'all watching the game, Oklahoma State just tied it up. They just scored a touchdown, 21-20. And it looks like it's going to come down to the wire. It's third quarter by five, maybe six, close to 6 minutes left in the game. For y'all watching the game, we need an update on the game. And we do encourage everyone listening, of course, to call in. The number is 323-927-2906. You can follow us online at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. Or, of course, we have an email account at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio. So definitely, we're looking to hear from all the callers. We got picks coming up at 10. And if y'all don't know, but last Thursday was one of our biggest listened to shows. And so it must be a lot of rich guys out there, because I did go 14-2, Ross. I did go 14-2. I think you went what? What was your record again?
Well, the first week, I think it was 15-1. And I went down the second week. I was 8-8, but I went out on a gamble. It was a lot of close games, a whole lot of teams that should have won, didn't want to miss field goals, whatsoever, you know what I mean? But that's football. On any given day, anybody can beat anybody. So, well, you know, you're on the high right now, but you got to ride the lows too. So, I'm just way deep up.
I think I hit my stride. So, we're going to definitely see.
You can go 3-13 like the Cowboys are going to do or something, you know what I mean, 1 week. Who knows?
Right. And the other NFL news, it's also been official. We could have reported this Tuesday, but ran out of time. But it is official. The league will move to an 18-game schedule in the NFL. I think that's going to start next season, I believe. Hopefully it'll be football next season, which we'll get into some of that talk later on in the season. But, I mean, Royce, what do you think about this? An 18-game schedule. I mean, what do you think this is going to do to the whole collective bargaining agreement and these negotiations that are coming up for the league for next year?
Well, you know, I don't know all the details of the collective bargaining agreement. I know 18 games, you know, everybody, 16-week season is just not enough for some fans. You know what I mean? But they don't play the game. You know, and we all know when football comes to an end, and we know it's almost over with, it hurts. So bringing it 18 season wouldn't hurt, but they got to cut down on preseason. There's too many preseason games. You know, definitely too many. And, you know, you play two games, and then the season starts, you know. And then you play your starters, you know what I mean? And guys that's going to make the team, you know, You put them in position. If they're good enough to make, they make the team. But I saw a lot of teams this year have made a mistake of not really working out of training camp like this year. And they started that season on a real low, you know what I mean? A lot of teams, you know, take the Cowboys in. So a shorter preseason and a longer season, but no, everybody hates to see football in. So 2 more weeks of football, I'm all for it.
You know, and a lot of people liking it to, I heard a lot of people are making an opinion about, well, college football doesn't have preseason, and they start with the regular season. But what y'all understand is the first 3 games of a college team is against teams like Stephen F. Austin, Louisiana Tech. You know, they're playing these teams. They might not be preseason, but it is preseason to these Big 12 and Big East and Pac-10 schools, because they schedule a lot of teams that they know can gear them up for the conference schedule. Right, to gear them up for the conference schedule. But my main concern is with an 18-week schedule, football being such a violent sport like it is, I mean, what is it going to do to injuries? Are we going to see teams running more the 3 running back sets? Are they going to be running 3 tight ends? They're going to have to keep more players on the field. But I'm just wondering, are we going to see 18 weeks of good football? Right now, in 16 weeks, we already run through the whole thing of the last 2 weeks of the season starters not playing. The last game of the season, no starters play. Guys having undefeated seasons and having to debate, well, should I sit my starters for the last 2 weeks so they can rest for the playoffs? Are we going to see more of that at the end of the season, having 18 games? And that's my biggest concern, really. I just like to see good football every week. And that's what I feel like cast to watch.
You're going to have that. You're going to add it in the 16th season or 12th season, that at the end of the season, if you're going to the playoffs, you know, guys are going to sit. They're not going to up there already clinched. You know, that's going to happen anyway. You can't avoid that. But if you're a good team and you make it past 16-week season and you're going to the playoffs, you're playing 18 weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So some teams play their best ball after the season ends and they're in the playoffs. So, you know, either way, you could have 12 games and you're going to have people rest. So that's something not going to be able to stop. But to continue football on, I guess that would take it up past the Super Bowl, well over into February.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think what they're going to do is actually just take two preseason games off
right.
the schedule and make them regular season games. Now, details haven't come out yet. I think they're holding everything for the collective bargaining agreement to be official, but I think that's going to be the plan. And they're also going to allow the teams to carry more players through the season, and there's even talk about maybe having two bye weeks instead of one, just so the players have a chance to rest up a second time during the season, which could be a good thing, could be a real good thing. But this is going to give a lot of teams that start out 0-4, 0-3, even 0-5 a chance to really turn their season around. And that could really pay dividends for a team that does start off slow and needs the people that come to the fans that come to the seats to watch the games. So it could really help in that regard. So I see the financial aspect of having 18 games. I just want to make sure we had good football 18 games. You know how much we love to watch football on Sunday. Two more weeks is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the 14th game of the season, you already know you won the division. You know, the last two games, they're going to sit players anyway. So,
right.
You know, you're going to get that either way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I just like
now, then, also
to
this, right. And also starting this weekend, too, and me and you, Royce, you know, we love golf, and we'll be glued to the TV this weekend, especially with no Cowboy game on, to the Ryder Cup. And the Ryder Cup is going to get started actually tomorrow, right?
Right. Well, it'll be tomorrow night. Yeah, Saturday morning. We get to watch it. Right. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, there's a little controversy brewing on the Ryder Cup. As you know, we talked about it on our first show, Tiger's selection to the Ryder Cup. Some people didn't feel like he played up to par. I say whatever that. He's still Tiger Woods. He's still the best player,
number one,
even though he didn't win a tournament this year, still number one player. So whatever with that. But actually, one of the European players, McIlroy, a young guy, made some comments saying that any of his team members could beat Tiger right now, and he hopes that he gets a chance to play Tiger and beat him. Now, I don't know, but I was always taught when you go to the zoo, don't feed the animals. Why would you go to the cage and tap the gorilla on the head? I don't understand that. I mean, is he making a big mistake trying to call Tiger out like that?
Well, today in retaliation, they went out on the practice tee today with wigs on marketing. So, but anyway, Tiger is still one of the best, you know, in any Ryder Cup tournament. One player is not going to be at his best. And there's always going to be somebody going to pick up the slack, you know, either way you look at it. And Tiger is just as good as a lot of other players. So, yeah, right now everybody's even, you know. All the season, everything, it doesn't mean it's over with. Everybody's starting off completely even in the Ryder Cup. So I look for him to play well, you know what I mean? And as long as he stay close and the team is close, you know, and everybody do their job. So, you know, they're going to win some, they're going to lose some. So that's how it works. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think he earned it. You know, he's still finishing the top 15-20, you know, in tournaments.
Right.
You know, coming from what he went through. So he's still better than a lot of players. A lot of players didn't win in the tournament this year. So he's not the only one.
And they say the first couple of pairs will be Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson on the USA side of the ball. And they've even been talking about Tiger being able to play Friday. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the U.S. team dominating this. I think Anthony Kim, Phil Mickelson, of course, Tiger, number one.
Right.
I think they're really going to come to play. I think they're going to do this.
Yeah. But, you know, the Europeans won a lot of tournaments this year. So they you know, we were a lot better than they are, but I think they've came up a lot. We saw a lot of Europeans come over this year and win some tournaments, you know, and so it's gonna really test the Americans and see how good we are. But you know, it's a back and forth thing. You know, we dominated the last couple of years, but I look forward to be close and go America. So we'll see.
Yeah. And it is being played in Newport, Wales. Last year they played in Valhalla. But they said this course is tough, Royce. They said it's going to be raining, windy. It's a links course. It's going to be really, really tough. So you're right. I mean, the European players are going to have an advantage. They have played good golf this season. But I think Tiger's motivated. I think he's fired up. I think he's ready to play. And I look for him to break out and show the world this weekend he's still the number one golfer.
Still, you know, with the wind and the rain, he may keep his shots in the fairway.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, it may help him out. But they do have an advantage. I could say that European is a whole different golf. I would love to go over there and play. It's a whole different atmosphere than over here, you know. So I'm looking forward to it.
And before we get into the college football picks, I want to remind everybody again, the call-in number, we love to hear your opinion, is going to be 323, the same number as always, 323-927-2906. You can reach us online, blogtalkradio.com/RFSports, and follow the show, or follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio, or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. So we definitely like to hear from you guys. But before we get into college picks, though, Royce, and I heard a lot of debate about this. We watched some stuff on this on Inside the NFL. And at the time, I really wasn't thinking about it, but I guess it really was a big situation. But on the Monday night game, and I know you remember this, but Chicago had the ball. They were in the red zone. It was maybe a little over a minute left. And a lot of debate's been going on whether Green Bay should have let them score immediately and gave Aaron Rodgers a chance to drive the ball down the field to tie the game. I mean, what do you think about this? Do you think, can you remember a game when someone actually let somebody score with the hopes that they would score to tie the game?
Yeah. Now, back in the 80s and early days, I used to see a lot of that. You don't see a lot of it lately. I think they did the right thing because, you know, you put the whole game on Aaron Rodgers to come back. You know, he was okay. It's a coach's decision. You know, some people for it, some people against it. I personally think it did make – you have to make the best decision for your team and the way your team's playing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. So.
Yeah, and I think – and it's hard. I mean, I think it would be hard for a coach to say, hey, let them score. You know, to tell your defense to go out there and let somebody just walk into the end zone.
Right.
You're putting too much on chance. I mean, you got just enough chance of driving the ball down the field from, say they get the ball at 20 from 80 yards, then you have a chance of stopping them and blocking the field goal.
Right,
that's my opinion. You know, I think you got the same amount of chance in there. And it's hard to tell your team, hey, don't worry about it, let them score. We're going to get the ball, we're going to score back. But I think he did the right thing. He made the right decision. Because in all means, I mean, they could have picked up a fumble. And Chicago, it wasn't like they took a knee. They actually kept running the ball. So they could have knocked the ball out. I know I saw Woodson trying to shoot the ball when they were running it. And that could have happened easily. You know, they had just enough chance of doing that as driving the ball down the field. I know Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but like you said, you put that much pressure on him, then anything can happen. Now he's forced to make a play versus trying to make the right play. Now he's forced to make a play. So I agree with you on that. And I think I can't think of a game myself. I know they had a situation in the Super Bowl with the Broncos and the Green Bay Packers, and that didn't work.
Years ago.
But I think in a game like this, you really don't have to take that big of a chance. And I think they did make the right decision. Now, do you think the probability of Aaron Rodgers scoring a touchdown was greater than them getting a turnover or blocking the field goal?
No, it's 50-50. It's 50-50. You know, but like I said, that's putting a lot on your shoulders. You know what I mean? And some games he will do that, and you can't do that every game. You know, the Hail Mary, you know, and a whole lot of times Brett Favre, many times he come back and won a game. Sometimes he doesn't do it, you know.
Right.
So even a great quarterback can't do it. So it's 50-50. You know what I mean? I think they did the right thing.
Yeah. And just a quick update on the game. A&M just threw a pick. Now the turnover battle is even. Both teams have had three turnovers. And they just threw a pick, and OSU is getting the ball with about a minute, 26 seconds left in the third. So this game is going to go down to the wire. We're going to keep updating you guys on that. Now, another thing I want to talk to you about, Royce, is the wonder and the amazement of cable TV. Okay, I woke up this morning. It was early. It was maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock. I turned it on. I see, and I'm flipping through channels. I'm watching SportsCenter, but I see NBA TV's got a show called Real Training Camp. So I click on Real Training Camp, and what do I see but training camp for the L.A. Lakers. I get to watch Phil Jackson coach the L.A. Lakers. And I'm sorry, I'm a big Laker fan. Everybody knows that. I know Kobe wasn't there. Andrew Bynum wasn't there. But I got to see Coach Phil Jackson in action coaching his team up. And I didn't know they had a channel like this. Have you seen this before?
Oh, yeah, but you have to really, really be a Laker fan to get up at 5 something to watch the Lakers fuck. I mean, wow. You have to really be a Kobe nut to get up there to watch him practice. But, I saw the Wizards had a midnight practice. I happened to catch some of it. It's pretty interesting. It's another side of basketball we normally don't get to see. But, like I said, with the wonders of TV today, man, I'm glad to see that. Now you know what goes on at training camp.
Right.
But I don't think I'd get up at 5 a.m. to watch the Lakers. Maybe in Miami? Yeah, I probably would. Yeah, to see how that threesome is working out. I know what the Lakers have. I want to see what everybody else has.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially Oklahoma.
I also saw a little bit of the Knicks with Amari Stoudemire, see how he's fitting in with that team. And what I thought the neatest thing was to see, is this kind of like, you know, Hard Knocks is a big production. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors a lot of time, although it's still the heart, it's still the football training camp, the bonding of a team, the hope of a good season. And then when I saw the NBA one, the real training camp, I mean, I'm watching these guys do basic drills, like drills that I did when I was playing basketball at a young age and learning how to play basketball. They're doing bounce passes, chest passes, set shots, dribble drills. I mean, I thought it was really neat to see that, see a professional athlete like Amari Stoudemire or these other guys doing these basic drills still as a pro athlete in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, you have to. You know, that's one thing I noticed, the trend in basketball, people getting back to the basics. You know, at one point it was more me and showmanship, you know what I mean? But guys have got about the basics. They were more about shooting, you know what I mean, and making a highlight reel. But you got to have the basics. Oh, yeah, you got to have what bring you to the dance. You got to stick with it. So, and that's basketball. You, like I say, you learn that at a very early age. So you have to go back to the basics there, right?
Yeah, if you guys hadn't checked it out, make sure you definitely check out Real Training Camp on NBA TV. It's hard to miss it. If you turn on that, bet it's on that right now. But it was really, really interesting. We do want to give a quick shout-out to a couple of new sponsors on board with the show. If you guys go to our blog at rfsportsradio.blogspot.com, we did pick up a couple of new sponsors. One is sportsmemorabilia.com. And right now they're offering on our website a signed Troy Aikman jersey. So the Dallas Cowboy fans definitely get a chance to pick up on that. We also formed a partnership with ticketsnow.com. So if you guys need tickets for any sporting event, whether it's sold out or upcoming, definitely go check out ticketsnow.com and go to our site, and you'll see it right there at the top of the website. That's rfsportsradio.blogspot.com, and you can definitely find two good sponsors. So we welcome them on board. And thank you guys for joining the RF Sports Radio Show.
You better get those math tickets now.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was looking online, and the Heat game and the Laker game, you have to buy. You can't just buy the Heat or Lakers. You got to buy a 3-game pack.
Right. So,
I'm pretty sure every team in the league is doing that, though.
Oh yeah, Miami is going to be the hottest ticket in the NBA. You know that, don't you? They are going to be the hottest ticket in the NBA. In every city that they go, I guarantee it's a sellout.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Spotlight, right. So it won't be Kobe.
We're going to see. They're still the world champions, as you say, like you say about the Saints. They're still the world champions, so we'll see about that. Let's jump into a couple of college football. Right now they're reviewing a play from OSU. It looks like they might have scored a touchdown or his knee might have been down. So OSU could go up here in just a second. But let's go through a couple of the college football. Let's start with the rankings real quick. Let's get a quick update on that. I know me and you both like the way Alabama's been playing. They look definitely like number one team.
They had a close one last week.
Yeah. But Oklahoma State actually Ohio State, putting up 73 points last week was impressive at the same rate, too. So we'll definitely see what happens there. Now, in the top 25 rankings, number one, we'll go through the top 10 real quick. Alabama, still number one. Ohio State, number two. Boise State, number three. Oregon, number four. TCU, number five. Number six is Nebraska. Number seven, Florida. Number eight, Oklahoma. Nine, Stanford. And number 10 is Auburn. And the team that fell out the top 10 was Texas, all the way down to 21.
Right, well, they got shellacked.
Right. They got beat by UCLA team at home in Austin.
But you know
they
how
got
these teams avoid each other? You know how they all avoid each other?
Mm-hmm.
They all do. They manage to avoid each other. They play everybody else but themselves until the bowl game. But right. But they manage to avoid each other. So, right.
And a couple of games in the top 25, Royce, and I get your opinion on a couple of these. We got a Big Ten game coming up. Ohio State's jumping into their conference schedule. Number two, Ohio State's at Illinois. I think we both think Ohio State's going to win this game, don't we?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I go with
Ohio
State.
You got number 16, Miami, who beat up on Pittsburgh while we was on the air last Thursday. They're playing Clemson. Do you think they're going there and beat Clemson?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I'm going to give it to Miami.
Yeah. It's hard not to. When they're ranked 10,
it's
hard not to.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And then got Louisiana Monroe.
They weren't too bad.
No, they wasn't. Their quarterback, that guy's not too bad at all either.
Right. They weren't too bad at all. So, I don't know. It could be upset to make it. You know how I like an upset.
Yeah, I know. Them upsets get you 8-8, though.
Yeah, okay. But they do happen. That's why I'm 8-8.
Right.
We had some upsets. That's why I'm 8-8.
That's
why they've been 16-0.
And then you got Louisiana Monroe going to number 10, Auburn. I think Auburn will win this game. You got number 5, TCU going to Colorado State. And TCU has no more ranked teams in that schedule. So I think this is a part of the season where they
keep rolling. It'd be a test for them. You know, are they playing in Colorado?
Yeah, they're playing in Colorado, yeah.
Well, you know, it's something about that atmosphere up there. You know, you can really get sharp-winded. So it depends on how they prepared, and it'd be a good test for them, you know what I mean? So we'll see. Because it's hard to play up in the Mile High City.
It is. It really is. You got number 11, Wisconsin, going against number 24, Michigan State, another conference game. I think I'm going to take Wisconsin in this game. I haven't watched them this season, but they got to be ranked number 11 for a reason.
Well, they've been winning. They have been winning.
That's true.
They have been winning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Got to go with the winner. Michigan State did have them. Their coach is actually going to be he's going to be back for the game, although he will be sitting upstairs. And y'all know he suffered a heart attack after the Notre Dame game. He'll be upstairs calling some of the plays, sending plays down, so I think they're going to play hard for the coach. It is at Michigan State, so this could be an upset game, Russ.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, you know, like I said, there are going to be some upsets. Who and where, I don't know, but I think that I'm going to have to go with Michigan.
All right, go ahead. That's a good one. You go, man. It's a good upset. And then you got Tennessee going to number 12, LSU. This game is at home for LSU. I think we give LSU the win. It's hard to beat them in Baton Rouge, as we all know.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard. So I'm going to go with LSU, too.
And then we got number 19, Michigan. And you know how much I love that quarterback, Robinson.
Yeah.
They call him Shoelace. No shoes. And he's going up against Indiana. I think they'll beat Indiana handily. I think you agree with me on that.
I got him. Baby Vic's going. Yeah, Baby Vic's going to show out. So Daddy can show him how to play Sunday. So we'll see.
And then you got number 3, Boise State at New Mexico State. You got number 9, Stanford, going to number 4, Oregon in a Pac-10 showdown. Hey, this could be a big game right here.
Yeah, that could be an upset game there. That game could go either way.
It's in Oregon.
I'm split on that
one.
Mm-hmm. I'm split on that, but that could go either way.
And then you got number 18, USC. Although they can't go to a bowl this year for the next 3 years, they're playing Washington, when Washington always plays them pretty hard. And then you got a number 22 team in Penn State. At number 17, Iowa. And that game's in Iowa. Now, if you guys have never seen the Iowa football game, y'all think it's Rutgers at a pro game? That's all they got in Iowa is college football. So it's definitely going to be a Rutgers crowd there in Iowa. So we'll see what Penn State does there. You got number 25, Nevada, going against UNLV. I think they'll definitely win that game there. And, of course, two of the biggest games, Royce, and I want to definitely get your opinion on some of these, but two of the biggest games we got is, of course, number 7, Florida, going up against number 1, Alabama. And this game is in Alabama. Now, how you like this game?
Are you kidding me? Come on, man. You got to go with Alabama.
You think Alabama's going to beat Florida?
Oh, yes. In Alabama, it'd be hard to lose.
I think I'm going to call for an upset on this one. I think I'm going to go for an upset. Because what I saw in Alabama last week, it was a close game in Arkansas, although that game was in Arkansas. They did battle back and win. That did show me a lot. I still think they're the best team in the country. I just don't think they're going to go undefeated. I don't think any team is going to go undefeated in the SEC. And I think this is a game that they lose. I think Florida beats Alabama in Alabama.
Alabama won't play like they did last week. I guarantee you, whatever problem they had, they are going to be corrected this week.
Well, we'll see. So you taking Alabama, and I'm taking Florida.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead and work on your 8-8.
Yeah. We'll see about that. And then we got the big game right here at the State Fair, right down the street from us, live in South Dallas, Texas. And that's going to be the Texas OU game. This is huge. Everybody knows it's tied in with the fair. It's going to be a huge crowd out there. It's going to be the biggest game on Saturday. Now, from what I saw from Texas last week, they lost to UCLA, and Oklahoma barely squeaked by in the game against Cincinnati. Now, who you think is going to win this game?
Well, it's a good time for Texas to bounce back from the whooping they got last week. But usually Texas OU, who won last year? They always go back and forth.
Texas won last year,
so it's Oklahoma's time. It's never a high-scoring game. So I look for Texas to bounce back. It is, and, you know, it's a Red River rivalry. It's been going on for years. Texas got a lot of pride coming off that loss. Oklahoma's coming down. I look for them to get drunk Friday night, so maybe that'd be a hangover Saturday in Texas. Well, either team's going to have a hangover because they do like to party when they come here. I think Texas bounced back this week.
You know what? I think Oklahoma wins this game, and I'm going to tell you why. From what I saw from the quarterback, Gilbert, I know he's highly talented. I know he came out one of the top prospects out of high school, and everyone tells me how good this kid's going to be, but I haven't seen it. He had 3 picks last week. I think he had 3 picks the week before, and I just don't think he can win like that. I think he's going to throw some picks in this game. His first time starting in the Cotton Bowl, Landry, the guy that was the quarterback from Oklahoma, he almost had a whole season playing when Sam Bradford got hurt last week, so he had a chance of playing some big games. I think that's going to be the biggest difference, going to be the quarterback. And I think both defenses are suspect. Both defenses may give up a lot of points, so I had to give it to the quarterback. I think Landry is a much better quarterback right now than Gilbert is, especially with all the picks and stuff that he threw. So I'm going to go with OU on this game. As hard as it is for me to go with OU, but I think I'm going to take OU to beat Texas.
Well, you know, it's like going against the Cowboys. How are you a Texan that's going to root for Oklahoma? And you know it's a rivalry. But at the same time, what do you think the score is going to be? Give me your prediction on the score.
You know what? I think the score will be 28-21. I give it 28-21.
Yeah, I think it'll be a high-scoring game because, you know, most of the time the weather's bad. When they play, I've seen it rain. I've seen it freezing cold. It'll be a perfect day. I look for a high-scoring game. I heard the field and the stadium is in excellent condition. So, you know, they did all the remodeling on it. So, I think it's going to be a fast field. And,
yeah,
28-21, 28-17, something like that. So, I'm going to get a figure. You know, I got to root for Texas, being from Texas. Can't go with
I respect that. Although, we can have to agree to disagree on this one. So, you got Florida. I mean, you got Alabama. I got Florida. You got Texas. I got Oklahoma. Is that right?
Well, yeah, one of us is looking for 8-8. We'll see.
Well, one of us is going to have to win. Or we might split them 2 games, so we'll see about that. On a side note, one of the Oklahoma players, wide receiver Jazz Reynolds, is not going to play. He's been suspended indefinitely after he posted some real, real bad remarks. Coach Bob Stoops called the remarks insensitive. And he actually put on his Twitter page, this was Monday, after the shooting at UT. He put on his Twitter page, "Hey, everyone in Austin, Texas, ... kill yourself." That was on Tuesday, the day of the suicide. So Bob Stoops took his initiative and suspended this guy indefinitely for making those kind of remarks. I mean, how can you do something like that? That's just plain stupid.
I don't blame him at all, and, you know, that's why I hate Twitter. You know, Twitter, you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to. It's just a way of saying stuff that you shouldn't say. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I've seen some people post some of the stupid and dumbest stuff I've seen in my life on Twitter. You know, I'm from the old school. I don't have to know. If you don't say it, I don't have to know what you're thinking. And sometimes you don't have to tell everybody everything you're thinking. And for him to write that was real stupid. I think they did the right thing. You know what I mean? Somebody could have very easily have died. You know, luckily nobody didn't. You know, and the way these guys and shooting on college campuses and that's nothing to joke about. You know what I mean? It's really nothing. Yeah. So I don't blame him. He should have.
I think he really did the right thing. I think he really. And I just don't know how. As a player, you know these guys are following you, watching everything you say, everything you do. Can make such an insensitive comment like that. And I hope he doesn't have. I hope he doesn't play the rest of the season to show and prove that, hey, you can't just say everything you want to say, especially when you're playing for a football team. You're playing Texas this coming up week. Why would you say something like that? That I just don't understand. Don't understand it at all.
He could tweet an apology, too. I make it clear about.
Yeah. And then, of course, guys, we're going to go to our NFL picks in here in a second. The world-famous NFL picks, I should say, since that's been our biggest show, has been the NFL pick show. And the call-in number is 323-927-2906. We'd like to hear your picks. You can pick against us. And, of course, you can follow us at blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports, email rfsportsradio@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at RF Sports. And we're definitely looking forward to hearing from you guys here shortly. Now, Royce, before we jump into this, I need to ask you some questions, man. I need your expertise. Matter of fact, I need your help on my fantasy right. team. Now, I told you on Tuesday I was number one in my fantasy league, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so now I'm having some issues, okay? Now, my running back position, I got Steven Jackson, who should be a beast on fantasy, not performing. I got Joseph Addai, should be a beast on fantasy, not really bringing me the points. And I've got Ronnie Brown, which I just moved from the bench to my starting lineup because these guys weren't delivering the points that I needed. Now, should I leave Steven Jackson in? I know he's got a groin injury. Should I count on, hey, you're going to have this big game? And should I try to make me a trade now for Steven Jackson and hope I get maybe two good running backs out of the deal?
I think you better trade both running backs to get you two new running backs. That's what I think. I don't think Adai's going to do that great this year. He may get 800 yards. I don't think he's going to get 1,000 yards unless something just changed around because, you know, they have always a passing team. So, Steven Jackson, he's too accident prone. You know what I mean? He's going to get, if he's healthy and running good, they're going to get yards. But they're going to count on him a lot. He's going to carry a lot of the load this year. If I year, I try to trade my two running backs.
Yeah, I need to work something. I need to see what my league has and try to work something out. And then a quick note of that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's both of my mistakes.
A&M just fumbled.
I see it.
Turning the ball. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Now they're up by two touchdowns now. Johnson just fumbled the ball. Know what he was trying to do, run with the ball.
Right.
They picked it up for an easy score, and it looks like it's going to be a long day for A&M.
Untouched. Yeah.
A long day for A&M.
Right. They were up there. They had a good chance. And they were moving the ball.
They were moving the ball.
Wow.
Now, for all my fantasy players out there, I'm going to give you guys some quick fantasy advice real quick, just so you know. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of duds, okay? These are my fantasy duds, the guys that you do not want to play, that you need to get rid of ASAP, like I might have to do with Steven Jackson, okay? Number one, Charlie Batch, okay? I know if you had Charlie Batch, you might have won your matchup last week because he did throw three TDs, but get Charlie Batch back on the bench and off your squad. He's not going to do it this week against the Baltimore defense. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. My second dud is going to be Ahmad Bradshaw. He did okay last week, but he's not going to get that kind of rushing against the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears are only allowing fewer than 40 yards rushing per game, okay? Start somebody else if you got Ahmad Bradshaw. My other dud, Royce, is going to be Larry Fitzgerald. And I know if you got this guy in the start of the season, you was thinking, hey, I got to grab Fitzgerald. He's ranked high on the receivers list of my league. But you know he's been a bust. You know he's been a bust. He's got Derek Anderson throwing in the ball. They're going up against the Chargers. You can't start Larry Fitzgerald. You can't do it. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. Then you got Clinton Portis for the Redskins. Don't start this guy this week. He's had lackluster running. He's only averaging 3.7 yards a carry. He's always got these injuries. So if you got Clinton Portis for a running back, trade him, get rid of him, cut him, bring your new guy in.
He's on the decline.
You're absolutely right. He's on the decline. And he was rated pretty high when fantasy first started at the beginning of the year.
Right.
My other guy I want y'all to get rid of, okay, and don't start him. You ain't got to get rid of him. But don't start Calvin Johnson this week. I mean, he's got Sean Hill throwing the ball. Come on now. Come on, man. You don't want Sean Hill's not going to be giving the ball to Calvin Johnson where he needs to get it to him. It ain't going to happen. So don't start him this week. Some of my studs in fantasy football, guys that you should start or try to start this week or try to get this week, is going to be Matt Forte. I think Forte is going to have a breakout game coming up this week. So I think you definitely need to start him, especially against the Giants. The Giants are near the bottom of the league. Matter of fact, you're 26th in run defense in the league. You got to start Matt Forte. My other guy you guys need to start is DeSean Jackson. After having 150 yards last week, Vic has found his target. This is the guy he's going to throw the ball to. and they're going to be counting on him this week when they play the Redskins. So put DeSean Jackson in your lineup. If you got him in there, he's going to perform for you, I guarantee you. And then, of course, the second guy is Greg Jennings. Jennings, start the guy, is going to get some yardage. He had 5 catches 2 weeks in a row. So I think he's going to definitely be able to catch the ball and be able to do some running and get you some good fantasy points. Maurice Jones-Drew, I know he ain't been performing for you, but I'm telling you, go ahead and start him this week. I got a good feeling about him. And my last stud, Royce, I think the guy you need to start, Ocho Cinco. I think you need to start Ocho Cinco. Because if you think about it, Anquan Boldin was my biggest player for me last week, 3 touchdowns against the Browns, and Ocho Cinco is going to go against the same defense, the same guy that guarded Anquan Boldin is going to try to guard Ocho Cinco, and he might go for 3 touchdowns too. So I think you need to put Cinco in. I think he's going to bring in some points for you real quick. My sleepers, as far as the fantasy football is concerned, and Royce, I know you're not going to like this, but Gronkowski, the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, he's a sleeper. I'm telling you, he's a sleeper. He did have the offense turning after they missed that field goal to win the game against the Cardinals. I think Gronkowski can give you some quality points if you got a starting quarterback that's on, got a bye week this week. Another guy is Justin Forsett, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks. They're feeding him the ball. You should have this guy on your team. He's averaging 5.1 yards a carry. Jason Snelling for the running back for the Falcons. Start this guy. Aaron Hernandez, tight end for New England Patriots. Pick him up because I know the one on your fantasy team has him. Another guy to pick up is Kevin Walter, wide receiver for the Texans. I think he's going to definitely get some play time this week. Even though Andre Johnson's number one, he's a good compliment to Andre Johnson. He'll catch some passes and stuff for you, too. So definitely look out for these duds I have. Get rid of these guys. Look for the sleepers if you pick them up late before the game starts on Sunday. And make sure you get your studs on the field. This is what you need to do. And we're going to do this every Thursday, Royce. We're going to give them a little fantasy football update every Thursday because I've been emailing them and asking about fantasy football. So we're going to do
you left one out, Rodney. Definitely don't start Tony Romo this week.
Yeah, don't do that. Or Brett Favre.
That's Tony Romo. Definitely don't start Tony Romo this week.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Or start Brett Favre. You definitely don't want to do that. Now, Royce, you ready to start picking some of these games?
I'm ready, whatever. Yeah, where's the collar?
He should be coming in pretty quick. We can wait. We can definitely get started picking up some of these games because I know the world wants to know, especially what I'm going to be picking. I'm going to have to start calling myself the Sports Genius, especially if I go 14-2 all over again. I'm going to have to call myself a Sports Genius by then. Now, Royce, now you going to improve this week?
You know, right now I'm a gambler. I always play the odds. I'm gonna take a shot at it. I think I'm gonna beat you this week.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
So before we get started, do you wanna put a little wager on that? You gonna beat me this week?
How about a round of golf Sunday afternoon?
A round of golf on Sunday afternoon?
In between games.
Huh. That's a good bet. That's a good bet. I'll take that bet.
All right. Then whoever loses the golf tournament is double or nothing.
Okay, I'll take that bet. Now, before all we right. get started, we got to bring on our other guest. He picks games with us. He's a definite friend of the show. So we want to welcome in our good friend of the show, Rick. Now, you went 13-3 last week, right?
13-3?
No, you didn't go 13-3. You went 11-4 last week.
You went what? I thought I went 13-3.
No. You went 11-4. That was my mistake.
Well, which one is it, Roger? Which one is it?
Tell the man to go. I went 11-4.
Rick, you got to keep up with your pick.
I got the picks written down. Y'all don't worry about that. I got the picks written down.
Yeah, see, I'm on the road right now, man, and I can't write them down. But I wish I could, though.
go back
don't
and
worry,
listen
I'm
going
to write them down for you.
Go back and listen to that.
I have to go back and check it on the show. Check it on the website.
Now, before we get into the picks, I want to be fair to everyone, and I know everyone's listening. Do you want to know the injuries coming up? Or do you feel safe making your picks now?
Well, let me tell you something, if I never keep a score as 75 on the golf course with numbers, I just go back there to the show. I think he got mine wrong too. So, this is one list of injuries, so we kind of have an idea who's not playing.
Okay, I can do that. I can give you a couple of injuries here.
Go ahead and give us the injury update.
All right, let's go to the injury update real quick. But before we look at the injuries real quick, I want to let you guys know that one of the bigger games coming up this weekend, the game that no one knows about, and if I tell you who's playing in the game, you're gonna be shocked. But Jeff Garcia goes up against Dante Culpepper this week in the UFL. Did you guys know that?
Are you sure?
Did you guys know that?
Are you sure?
That's right. Jeff Garcia, the quarterback for the Omaha Nighthawks, against Dante Culpepper, the Sacramento Mountain Lions. And it's going to be the biggest game in UFL history.
Oh, yeah.
They scoring out this week.
Who's who you think going to take that game?
I got to give it to Culpepper, man. I don't know what their record is, but I just want to see Culpepper win.
I got to give it to Jeff Garcia, man. He's a scrambler, man. He's a fighter.
Yeah, he is. That's what I was thinking. I would probably have to get that one to Jeff Garcia.
And that's why I
don't think he can throw the long ball pretty good. He can really do that a whole lot better than Jeff Garcia can. But Jeff Garcia, you know, throws better on the run, in my opinion. You know, he moves around a lot more, you know, than Dante does now, you know, considering Dante's injury from a few years back.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still going with Culpepper.
This Kyle of the Hunt.
Let me give y'all some of the picks real quick. In the Arizona Cardinals, who's out is going to be Steve Reston. He's out for this game. But, of course, who knows who's going to be playing quarterback. Atlanta Falcons, no one's really out yet. Michael Jenkins is questionable. He's been questionable all week. No one's out for the Baltimore Ravens, although Ray Rice is questionable with a knee. He did practice today, so he's definitely going to be in there. Let's see here. We got Carolina Panthers. Everyone's playing. Buffalo Bills, everyone's playing. Well, Andre Davis is out with the shoulder. And other big injuries, let me see if we got any big notable injuries you should know about real quick. I think everybody else is pretty much in, man. No big injuries. Nobody really that's going to be out that wasn't out last week. So that levels a playing field. That way you guys can get your mind together, get your picks together. And I hope you guys did your homework, because I would hate to get back on here and be bragging about 14-2 or maybe even 16-0 next week. You never know.
It's very hard to do, Rodney. You pull out that 16-0 if you want to.
You never, ever, ever know.
Well, you know, if you keep the tabs on it, I'm pretty sure it's easy for you to go 16-0.
Oh, come on. That's a low blow, Royce.
That's a low very blow. Low blow. I know you keep scoring.
That's a low blow, man.
Get on with it. Let's get on with it.
All right, let's do it. We got the first game. Let's start, of course, the 1 o'clock games. You got San Francisco 49ers going to the Georgia Dome against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, keep in mind, the Falcons just came off a overtime win against the Saints, although Garrett Hartley missed that field goal. 49ers just fired the offensive coordinator. They're 0-3. What happens in this game? I'm going to let Rick, I'll let you pick first.
I'm going to have to go with Atlanta on that one. You know, I think that emotional high that they're on right now, I'm sure that's going to have to come down a little bit. And, you know, I hope they don't go out there and take San Francisco lightly, since I think San Francisco haven't won a game, right? you know. So
right.
I think Atlanta can keep it together, go out there and win this game. I think San Francisco's going to be out of shape a little bit with their offense.
Roy, who you got in this game?
Well, I got to go with Atlanta, the way they playing, and San Francisco, brand-new offensive coordinator. He's only been with the offense for a week. Oh, no, they're going to have a terrible offense today. They may do pretty good defensively, but I got to go with Atlanta.
I think we're all in agreement on here. I'm going with Atlanta because I think Atlanta's going to keep the ball rolling. Big win in the Superdome in New Orleans. I think they keep going in the Georgia Dome. So I think Atlanta wins this game. And we got Cincinnati going to Cleveland to play the lowly Browns. And I'm going to go ahead and take my pick first this time. I'm taking the Bengals to beat up on the Browns. What you got, Ross?
Well, I think it's going to be a breakout game for Ocho and Tio. So I'd like for them to run all over.
All right, Rick, who you got in this game?
Yeah, make that three of us. I'm not really concerned with the breakout game with Ocho and T.O. I just think they're going to go out there and beat the crap out of them. I don't think the Browns are really that good.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to have to stop picking first because it seems like y'all following everything I do. You know what I mean?
We know I went first on the first one.
We know Cleveland let me down last week. They were supposed to win that game. They broke my heart, so I'm not going with him anymore.
that's probably a good idea, man.
That's a good idea. That's a real good idea. All right, then we got in Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo, New York, the Jets going up against their divisional rival in the Buffalo Bills. Now, don't forget now, the Buffalo Bills put up 30 points, over 30 points against the New England Patriots now. It is a divisional game. The Jets are looking good. Anybody calling for an upset?
Hey, listen. The Jets put a whooping on New England. They're going to definitely put a whooping there. I got to go with Sanchez as a man. I got to go with the Jets.
Yeah, I agree with Royce on that one. I'm going with the Jets. I just think they're going to whoop up on the Bills, man. I'm not really concerned with the points the Bills put up on the Patriots. I think the Patriots overrated anyway.
And this game is in Buffalo. Don't forget that. At Ralph Wilson Stadium. No one's giving Buffalo a chance.
They can play in the Antarctic. It don't make any difference. They can play in the Antarctic. It wouldn't make any difference. I got to go with the Jets.
All right, I'm going with the Jets, too. Maybe I thought I could talk myself out of it, but I'm going with the Jets. Now, here's a game I think is really – you say what?
You never step out there on a limb, Rodney. Go ahead, Mr. 16.
I always step out on a limb. I step out on the right limb. That's the whole problem. Your limb a little flimsy. It's 8-8.
Okay.
You got an 8-8 limb. Don't forget that. Okay, now this is going to be a hard game to pick right here. I think this game is really going to set us apart. Okay, you got a Seattle team, which I don't know how to make the Seattle team right now. I mean, they come out big in week one, lay an egg in week two, and they get big in week three. So I don't know how to pick this team. It's been the hardest team to pick. And they're going against the Rams, who got their first win, a game that I picked against the Redskins last week. So I'm going to let you pick this game first. You like the Seahawks or you like the Rams at home?
I'm going with the Rams at home. The Rams came through with a win for me last week, too. I'm glad they beat up on the Redskins. So I think I'm going to go ahead and roll with the Rams on this.
Rodney, what's he liking this game?
No,
it's
your turn, Rodney.
You know what? I think I'm gonna take Seattle this game. I know. Primarily, two of the touchdowns they scored last week was based on the kicking game, two kickoffs that ran back. But I think that I just don't know if they could put together two back-to-back wins in St. Louis. I don't know what Steven Jackson's going to do with his groin injury. So I'm going to have to go with – I think I'm going to take the Seahawks in this game.
I'm going to go with Seahawks 2, St. Louis. Without a running game, you're going to be pressure on Bradford. And as long as you got Branch, you got a touchdown possibly. As long as Branch, you know, he's in Seattle. Half the back's been playing pretty good. because he's got him playing like college guy. I got to go to Seattle, Miss.
All right, I don't know if I should pick Seattle now that you pick Seattle.
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they got me out there solo. Solo with the Rams.
Well, we'll see. On any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody.
That's true. That's true.
That is true. And when they're showing the scores, flipping them through, and they're showing the Rams 17-3 on the Seahawks, I'm going to call y'all.
And then we got the Denver Broncos. The team with one of the biggest passing offenses in the league right now, going up against the Tennessee Titans. This game is in Tennessee. Now, Royce, you go first. You pick this game. Broncos at the Titans.
Well, right now, kind of like you and Rick, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Broncos. You know, I've been an Orange Crush fan for the longest. I had to put my finger on this Denver team. I know what they're capable of. I think it's going to be upset. I'm going to have to go with Denver over Tennessee. Tennessee has been, you don't know what team's going to show up. They kind of wishy-washy. They win 1 week, lose another the next week. So I look for Denver to win this. An upset. That's my upset pick.
Rick, who you got in this game?
I'm going with Tennessee on this one. Tennessee at home. It's about time for Chris Johnson to go ahead and have his breakout game. Chase Young should be able to run the ball a little bit. Denver is missing Elvis Somerville. Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Tennessee this game, too, because I think they're going to lose to the Cowboys the following week. And I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back, so I'm going to have to pick them to win this game. I'm going to pick them to beat them for this game.
I like this, man.
Yeah, I'm about to pick them because they got a lot of
two to one. Go ahead,
Cowboys. So I got to go with the Tennessee Titans. So Royce,
we ain't even mentioned the Cowboys. How the Cowboys
get this competition? You notice how the Cowboys come up and they got a bye week?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we weren't even talking about the Cowboys. They ain't even playing.
Now stop hating. I'm liking that, man. Stop hating.
Yeah, they're not even playing this week. They're on a bye week. The Cowboys not even mentioned. I think they're in the win though. I do think of the win this week.
Well, if they lose this one, they got problems.
That's right. They could very well, yeah. You're going to watch the whole game, see if they win or lose. You know they don't.
Seriously. And then we got the Detroit Lonely Lions with Sean Hill at the quarterback going up against a Green Bay team that lost a close game to the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. They got a short week. I'm picking this game first. I think Green Bay bounces back big, especially at home in Lambeau Field, and they beat the crap out of the Lions. So I like Green Bay this game.
I got to go with Green Bay. They just barely lost last week. I mean, that game could have went either way. So I got to go. Aaron Rodgers is still a good quarterback. They're still a good team, and no team's going to win every game. I got to go with Green Bay.
Ah, that's easy for me, too. I'm going with Green Bay. I think this one might be my blowout game of the week.
You think so?
Okay.
Yeah, it could be. You're right about that. Damn sure could be. Easily. I thought they got that front four in Detroit that looks good. Ndamukong Suh and some of the additions they made. So they got a front four, but it could be a blowout. You ain't lying about that.
Man, I think Green Bay's got weapons. They got offensive weapons, and Aaron Rodgers is a nice quarterback. You know, I agree with Royce on that one. So, you know, yeah, Green Bay
down,
is probably going to. You know,
down drive is going to score at least 2 or 3 touchdowns.
I hope so, because he's on my fantasy team. I hope the hell so.
He's on my brother's fantasy team. I know my brother is, like, listening to that right there right now.
Yeah, I know, for real. And then we got the Baltimore Ravens. This is going to be a great game. It's going to be an early game on CBS. But the Ravens going up against the Steelers. The Steelers got home field advantage at Heinz Field. No Ben Roethlisberger, but that ain't made no difference. So now this is really what's going to separate us right here. Now I'm going to have to let you pick, Royce. You were 8-8. You already stepped out on Lynn once already. This is your redemption pick right here. You got the Ravens or you got the Steelers?
Wow. I look for the Steelers to lose this week.
They're going to finally lose one.
They're going to finally lose one. They've been just I mean, everything ain't going to always go their way. So we'll see. Defense is not going to get turnovers every game. We'll see. I look for the Ravens to win it. You know, they always play. You know, they owned them last year. So we'll see.
I think I'm gonna have to steal. Man, it's a hard game to pick.
It's taking you too long, Mr. 16-0.
I'm going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens. Because I think the defense, in a way, I know Pittsburgh's got a better defense right now, but they can really cancel each other out. But I think if it comes down to the offense side of the ball, I like Flacco better. I like Batch. I like Anquan Boldin better. I like whoever they're going to throw the ball to. Who knows? I give it to the Ravens to go on the road and beat the Steelers. Rick, who you got?
I'm going with the Ravens, too. I mean, I don't think the Steelers can keep doing what they are doing,
right.
You know,
right.
With that quarterback situation that they have. I do think the defenses, I mean, if you give the Steelers a 5 on defense, which you surely can do that, you know, you would have to give the Ravens a 4.5, 4.3, somewhere
right.
There. You know, it got dragged out. You know, I do think that the Ravens got a little bit more power on offense, you know, so I'm going to have to go with them. Plus, I like Ray Lewis.
Yeah. Antoine Butler like had a breakout game last week. He was on fire last week.
I don't think he can do that against the Steelers, though. You know, but I think the Ravens are winning. It's probably going to be one of those 12-9 type games.
And I got Anquan Boldin on my fantasy team, too, so big shout-out to Anquan Boldin. Put up 32 points for me last week. So big shout-out to Anquan Boldin.
You probably shouldn't start him this week.
Yeah, if I don't start him, I got to start T.O., so I got to make a decision. One way to
go. Why not T.O.?
I'm going with T.O. against the Browns. T.O. against the Browns.
Why not T.O.? I said the same thing.
Now, then the next game, the last of the early games, we got the Carolina Panthers with Clawson at quarterback going in New Orleans Saints, and the Saints got another damn home game in the Superdome. I think I'm going to have to definitely take the Saints in this game, especially after what happened last week. This is going to be a breakout game for them.
Who that?
There you go.
Who that? I said the Saints. Yes, sir. I say them Saints. They're not going to lose again at home. I guarantee you. And they shouldn't have lost that game. Kicking missed the field goal. Can't miss no field goal. So, I got to go.
Matter of fact, on the side note on that, they do have John Corney's going to be kicking kicks this game. They're not going to let Harley kick this game.
And so I'm about to go with the Saints, too. It don't even matter if they're playing at home or not. I don't really look for the Saints to lose back-to-back games right now. You know, that Reggie Bush factor kind of hurt them last week. But I think they're going to overcome that. You know, I'm
with you on that. Now, next thing we got, of course, this may be an easy game to pick for us, too. Indianapolis going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. I'm definitely taking the Colts all the way on this game. I think we're unanimous on that. Am I right?
Here's
the game in which I pay close attention to. Okay, you got the Houston Texans going to Oakland Alameda County Coliseum to play the in the Black Hole to play the Raiders. Texans coming off a loss to the Cowboys, Andrew Johnson's hurt. He's going to play, but he's still limping around. I mean, I'm caught an upset on this one. I'm taking the Raiders on this game.
I'm taking the Raiders. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, you're on your own. I got to go with Houston on that one. Andre Johnson is hurt, but I just don't believe in the Raiders right now. Even though they had a win, they got one of the few wins that they're going to get last week. So, you know, I'm going with Houston on this one.
I'm going to go with the I'm going to go with Houston, too. They were embarrassed by Dallas last week, and I don't think they're going to play two bad games back-to-back. I looked on the bounce back and come back and make a statement. They're a better team than they were last week when they played the Cowboys, and I look for them to play much better. So I'm going to go with
Let me plead my case real quick. I'm going to give you guys a chance to change your vote, okay? Now, remember, the Houston Texans are a 9-7 team, okay? Before that, the last two seasons, they were 8-8, correct? And these are the type of games that they lose. These are the type of games they're supposed to win that they lose, and then they're going 9-7.
And what were the Raiders last year?
And that's aside from the point. The Raiders put up almost 30 points last week.
A 9-7? What were the Raiders?
They won 9-7.
Right.
They won 1-15. The Raiders played the Cardinals last week. You know, so, I mean, I don't think the Raiders could go out there and put up points like that on Houston. I mean, who you think they are, Dallas or something?
Hey, man, I'm taking the Raiders in the upset. This game here is going to put me over the top. I'm taking the Raiders at home.
They're going to put you on the top, on the T-box. One of the two, me on the T-box. They're either going to put you on the top or me on the T-box. So, go ahead. You have to make those statements to us. That's your pick. You stick with it. You ain't got
to explain
it to us.
That is my pick.
Okay, well, you don't have to explain it. That's your pick.
I'm sure not changing my mind.
We don't want an example. We paid our pick.
Alright, we're going to see. This is my upset pick. Y'all mark it down as my upset pick of the week right here. And for just a quick note, Texas A&M just scored to tie the game. It's 2:50 left. This game is tied, y'all, 35-35 in Stillwater. It's going down to the wire, as we thought it
would. Going down to the wire,
All right, so we got Arizona at San Diego. A Chargers team that needs a bounce back loss to the Seahawks last week. Arizona won basically on a missed field goal. So I don't know if you say they can win or if Oakland lost the game. What do y'all think about this game? Y'all like the Chargers at home?
I got to go with the Chargers because the coach's job is on the line now. They're not going to play. I mean, I tell you what, they have been the poorest showing so far. I look for them to turn around this week.
Rick,
yeah,
I agree.
I'm going with the Chargers. I think North Turner is probably on the hot seat. If he's not, he's very close. You know, and I think that team are probably turning around. But it's funny, they really are missing LaDainian Tomlinson right now, ain't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah. They missed something.
Ryan Matthews hurt. It's like, I don't even know what Sproles is doing, but Ryan Matthews is supposed to be the back to get out of the carries. They really missing their team right now. You're right about that.
Not only that, Phil Rivers, he's just throwing terrible.
Yeah,
Phillip Rivers is nice, though, man. That's a nice quarterback right there. He just, right now, he's not playing real well, or better yet, the whole team is not playing real well. I mean, everybody knows that San Diego is a little better than that.
But isn't this what San Diego does? Start off slow, and then now all of a sudden they're rattling off nine wins in a row.
Every year.
You know, this is what they do. This is exactly what they do. This could be a loss for them. You never know. Then you got the Sunday night game, the Chicago Bears.
Who you pick?
I took the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking the Cowboys. You say what?
You taking the Cowboys?
I'm taking the Chargers, man. And then you got the Sunday night game. You got the Chicago Bears, 3-0, leaders of the NFC, the monsters of the Midway. Going into New York to play the Giants. I'm taking the Bears in this game. I think the Bears go 4-0, y'all. I'm serious. I think the Bears go 4-0.
Taking my team, huh?
Your team?
Yeah.
Yo, you didn't even pick the Bears when we picked the NFC North. You didn't even pick the Bears, man.
I might have pulled my sheet out.
Yeah, you need to.
No.
Well, okay, where did I tell you about my connection to Denver? Where did Jay Cutler come from? Denver.
Came from Denver.
Okay.
So you picking the Bears? Is that what you're saying? You picking the Bears?
Oh, yeah, I rest my case.
Oh, man, I think I'm going to have to go with the Giants on this one. So I got that one again. The Giants are playing
at home. In disarray right now, Rick.
They are in disarray, but you know how they do. You know, they pretty much do this every year. Every year, Tom Coughlin is on the hot seat. We haven't seen a coach on the hot seat more than Tom Coughlin. He gets fired every year around the third or fourth game. He gets fired. You know, and they always seem to bounce back, you know. So, I don't know. I think I just kind of got a feeling the Giants is going to go out there and get them a win. Plus, I don't think the Bears is as good as what they are displaying right now. Jay Cutler going to have some
turnovers. Now, think about the Bears to beat two great teams. They beat the Packers and they beat the Cowboys.
Oh, here we go.
Well, they beat one great team because I think the Cowboys are better than the Packers. But, you know, I think we lost that game. I don't think they beat the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys lost. You know, it's pretty much that simple with me. I don't think the Bears are really that good, you know. They play good at home, but they're not at home this time. They're going to be in New York.
Yeah, I think they win this game. I think, and what's funny, side note about this game is Tiki Barber comes out and blasts the team, says he thinks that Coach Coughlin has no handle on the team, and this right in the locker room. They're going to be inducting him into the ring come this Sunday, him and Phil Simms. So
he's been on a hot seat for the last 3 or 4 years. I think this year the seat burns up. I think he's gone. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think he's lost the handle on this team. When you got players throwing their helmets up in the stands, and I think he's lost. I really do. I think he just lost the handle on this team. I think they just fed up with it. You know, I really do. He might have changed something, but he's still who he is. And I think it's time the seat burns up.
All right, then the last, so we got the Monday night game. The Patriots going to Miami to play the Dolphins. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right off the bat. Now, I'm not a Patriot fan, but I cannot be biased when I make this pick. But the Dolphins beat the Patriots, man, at home.
The Dolphins beat the Patriots at home.
The Dolphins defense is good enough to beat the Patriots. They were good enough to beat the Vikings. And the offense is good enough to score on the defense. The Patriots ain't got no defense. They're good enough to score on that defense. I'm taking the Dolphins to beat the Patriots.
Wow. I think I'm going to have to go with the Patriots on that one. You know, I think the Patriots will come out and do a little something. I really don't have just a whole lot of good stuff to say about the Patriots nor the Dolphins, but, you know, I really think that the Patriots will come out and win this one.
Roy, who you taking in this game?
I'm going neutral in this game. No.
Neutral?
Neutral.
Neutral,
they make the Cowboys
backwards.
Let me tell you something. My gut says that Miami wins, but realistic, I think New England is, you know, you can't go against them, and Belichick is going to have his team prepared. You know, he's always been to the Cajun. He's going to have a game plan that can beat the Dolphins. So I'm going to go with New England on this.
So you're taking the Patriots. I'm out there by myself with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think you are.
You by yourself.
It's going to be interesting to see how these picks come up, because I think one or two games are going to make the difference.
Yeah, I think so, too. Everybody's out there on a limb on a couple of games, and that's going to be the difference right there. It's going to be a real, real good show, too, is when we find out what these picks are going to be coming up as. Now, one game I did
like
you guys.
It was me out there on the limb this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, we was all out on the limb. I'm taking the Raiders. I'm taking the Dolphins. I mean, Rick, you're taking the Rams. You're taking, you're taking the Rams and the Giants. You got to on the rim twice, too.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Broncos.
Yeah, you taking Royce, you taking the Broncos. You're taking the you're
the
taking
Cowboys.
Yeah, you got down the limb on the Broncos, that's where you at.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
Well, I didn't know you
were
taking the Cowboys.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah, they're playing this week.
Yeah, keep thinking like that, man. Keep thinking like that.
You need to take the Cowboys.
I did say this week.
Now, one game I want you guys to pick that we didn't really go over, but I think we need to spend a little time on it real quick, and that's a divisional game between the Redskins at Philadelphia. McNabb's going to come back to the vet, to Lincoln Financial Field, rather, and play the Philadelphia Eagles his first game back. I mean, this game right here, to me, is the hardest game to pick. The hardest game to pick. You got a quarterback in McNabb. He's played 10 years in that stadium, in that city. So I know he's familiar with it. And I don't know what the reception is going to be when he gets there. And I wanted you guys' opinion. First of all, what do you think McNabb's reception is going to be? Are they going to boo him? Are they going to cheer him? And then who wins the game? And Rick, I'll let you go first.
Well, I know the right thing to do is for them to cheer, you know, once he come out. But after they cheer, that's pretty much their first.
This is Philadelphia.
I know. And that's why I say the right thing to do is for them to cheer when he comes out, you know. But then pretty much after that, he's fair game. But I think it's probably going to be about half and half. I think you're going to hear a lot of boos. I think you're going to hear some cheers. I don't think you're going to hear as many boos as you heard when he got drafted. But I think it's going to be pretty much a mixture. But around that second and third quarter, anything McNabb do good, I'm sure you're going to hear a whole lot of boos.
And who wins the game, the Redskins or the Eagles?
I'm going to have to go with the Eagles. The Eagles playing at home, I do think McNabb's going to have a good game, you know, but, you know, that's that thing with me. Redskins lose.
All the time.
All the time. Redskins losing their bye week.
That's right.
Royce, who you got in this game?
Well, you're talking about Philadelphia fans, the same fans that threw snowballs at Santa Claus. And get locked up every weekend. I don't know what kind of reception they're going to give him. You know, he didn't leave because of money. He didn't leave because he wanted out. He was traded, you know what I mean? And they do on
they
that.
They pushed him out.
Yeah, you know, and, they, you know, they traded him. And I think the fans hated to see him go. But, you know, winning changed everything with Michael Vick. But I don't know what kind of reception he's going to get. I hope they do stand and cheer. But, you know, I think he's played there so long, they know they know him. And I think Andy Reid is going to have something for him. They know the blitzing. They know his mannerism. They know his release. They know everything about it. So I think Andy Reid is going to have a game plan. I got to get a nod to Philly.
Now, in the same respect, although you said that, I mean, you have to consider the fact that McNabb knows his defense. He knows that Eagles defense just as much as they know him. Now, he's got a new plays, new scheme. And wait, before I get started, 2 seconds left, y'all, fourth quarter. Oklahoma State's lined up for a field goal. It looks like about a 41-yard attempt. So we'll see what happens in this game. But I think McNabb's got a new scheme. I know you're going to say that. McNabb's got the new scheme. He's got the new players. He's got the new play. So I think he's got the advantage. He's got the advantage on that. But I think, honestly, I think he's going to get booed, man. I think as soon as he comes out on that field, he's going to get booed. I mean, that's really the face facts here. The reason why he's not there in Philadelphia is because the fans didn't want him there anymore. They wanted Kevin Cobb. They wanted Michael Vick. They wanted a brand new life in Philadelphia.
The
so
same
I think he gets booed when he gets cheered.
The same fans that booed when Michael Irvin almost got paralyzed out there, you know. So it wouldn't be a surprise if they did that. I hope they come out and cheer for him, but I think it's going to be kind of a mixture. But that wouldn't surprise me if everybody in the stands booed that boy.
And plus he's wearing a Redskin uniform. Come on, man.
I mean, for real. Okay, the timeout real quick. Wife, what's up with that field goal?
They hit it. They just hit it. They hit the field goal. Oklahoma State wins 38-35 in the final, man. No time on the clock.
That was a good game.
No time on the clock. So it's final. Now I think the Eagles win this game. I think Michael Vick comes out, and I think the whole time, it's my honest opinion, the whole time he sat behind McNabb, watching McNabb play, McNabb trying to treat him like, hey, I'm your big brother and come under my wing, and I'm the one that went to coach and said, bring Vick in, this, that, and the other. I think all that boils over this week, because I think the whole time he sat behind McNabb last year, he was thinking like, man, if it was a real competition, I could take this boy. I could take his starting job. And I think he comes out on Sunday, so it's not just McNabb, but the whole Philadelphia. Because I think they really pull it for him to go out there and show McNabb up. And I think that's what he's going to do. He just got named this week. Matter of fact, today, the offensive player for NFC for last week, for this month, rather. So I think he comes out. I think he keeps doing what he's doing. He's got 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and I think he comes out and imposes his will on his Redskins team, because the Redskins is not a good team. Not a good team. They just lost to the Rams. So I know they're not a good team. Not a good defense. And I think Vic comes out there and lights them up. Not just Vic is playing with Chip. I think Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, these young guys that we now try to discount like they wasn't nobodies or they were just young players on the team. I think all of them come out with a chip on their shoulder on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. But like I said, these Philly fans are some of the worst fans in the NFL, period. So plus he's wearing the wrong uniform. You know, they hate the Redskins anyway.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, man. So we all picking the Eagles on that game, right?
We all picking the Eagles.
Okay. Wow. Close this week.
Oh, it's going to be real close this week. Real close. But as you guys know, they've been following the show. Last Thursday, that was our biggest show to date. The most listeners were for the picks last week, and I expect this Thursday going to be the same. So I thank you guys for joining me and making these picks and everything with me. But before I let you go, Rick, I get your opinion on one more thing. We talked a lot about the end of NBA training camps getting ready to start. Story breaks out today, and I don't know if you saw the interview with LeBron on CNN yesterday, but it looks like LeBron or his manager trying to play the race card in the media, saying that he feels like all the attention, all the bad publicity about LeBron switching teams and having a press conference was a racial thing. And me, in my opinion, I think race had nothing whatsoever to do with it. It was a pure LeBron James thing. He's on every commercial. He's supposed to be the ambassador for the NBA. Anytime you make a move in free agency and call a press conference, you're going to get all kinds of publicity, good or bad. And I don't think it was right for him or his manager to try to play the race card in the media like that. I just want to get your opinion on that.
It depends, you know, because I haven't heard the interview, you know, or even read it for all that matters. But it depends on which context it was used, you know. As far as my opinion, the way the race card could be played, you know, in the media, you know, I think that's just simply, you know, it's LeBron James. If LeBron James come out and have his shoes untied, somebody's going to report that. You know, anything that boy do, that the media is going to be all over. So I really don't think that have anything to do with race. I think that's just LeBron James, you know, period. You know, now I do think, you know, as far as like the fans and stuff like that, I mean, because let's be real. I mean, it's a shame that we still have to deal with stuff like that, but on a day-to-day basis, we do. And I'm not saying that, you know, everybody is like that, but you have that, you know, on both sides of the fence, to be honest with you. So, you know, some of the fans kind of turning their back on him and not liking him and all that. Some of that could have been that particular situation. I don't know. You know, it you know, depends on that particular person. But I do think that's possible, you know, but as far as the media is concerned, you know, and that spin on it, I think that's just the media doing what they do. You know, the media is always going to try to spin something, you know, one way or the other just to get them some pretty good ratings or whatever the case is. And I don't think that's got nothing to do with race.
And you're right. I should have gave you a little more background before I let you come in, Royce. But this was the actual quote. The CNN correspondent was Soledad O'Brien, and she asked him about the decision, you know, the press conference and stuff he had. And he was actually the manager. His manager, Maverick Carter, says it was just about control and not doing it the way it's always been done and not looking the way that it always looks. And it's when O'Brien asked him, did you think race played a role in, you know, the way you were covered? And James says, I think so at times. It's always, you know, a race factor. You know, and that's basically what he said.
Okay.
So,
let me think
it was a race factor?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. Because what other player that you know of that you've seen that people just get out and burn their jerseys? I mean, you know, we had A-Rod here. You didn't see it, the Ranger fans going, they traded away Emmitt Smith. You didn't see us going out burning his jerseys. I don't know of any other players that they did that to. And you know what? It's like a tea party in the NBA. We want the NBA back. You know, these players now, you know, the player of LeBron James caliber, you know, has done something that nobody's ever done. He was able to control his own destiny. You know, the way these players are traded, you know, like cattle, you know, and stuff, and you wake up, you know, you're on a team one day and you wake up the next day and read about a newspaper, you've been traded. You know, that's not fair either, but that's the nature of the business. And kudos to LeBron James, you know what I mean? Nobody knows what he, like, he's done everything he did for Cleveland, but for them to go out and burn his jersey, I mean, come on, man.
The one thing that they can't say about that is that, you know, LeBron James, you know, he may have done it, in some people's opinion, he may have done it the wrong way as far as going out there in the media and all that. But as far as, like, handling his business, he did that the right way. Can't nobody fault him for that. It wasn't like he was holding out and all that kind of stuff. He waited until his contract was up, and he did his thing. You know, but when you talk about that race thing, look at how they did A-Rod. When A-Rod, you know, went off for over to the Yankees, and actually when he signed with the Rangers for all that money, you know, the media kind of turned against him too. You know, so I can't say that it was just race, you know, against LeBron. But then when you look deeper into it, you take somebody like Dirk Nowitzki, you know, he probably won't go out there and have that big old powwow like that. You know, it's just, I guess it's just a matter of mentality. LeBron wanted to go out there and have the big old shindy. A-Rod did that, but I don't think Dirk would go out and do anything like that, and the media would never turn against Dirk. And they
can't. In all fairness, though, James, LeBron did raise $3 million for the Boys and Girls Club based on that.
Yeah. Donated the money. You know, it was nothing that LeBron James, you know, did wrong. You know, personally, I wouldn't have done it that way, you know, but I'm not mad at that man for doing it like that, you know. But, you know, hey, if it was me, I wouldn't have left Cleveland anyway. I would have told Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, y'all got to come to me.
And that brings up a whole other point. That brings up a whole other point. We talked about this when this first happened. I think a guy like LeBron James has a college shot because I don't care what he does this season, what titles, if they win a title, whatever they do this season, it's still going to be Dwayne Wade's team. I'm sorry. It's still Dwayne Wade's team. He's the one that got these guys to come play with him. That's how I feel about it. It's still D. Wade's team.
Well, let me ask you a question, Rick. If you were making big money and you played on the Raiders, you'd get tired of losing too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would get tired of losing.
But are you going to the NBA Finals?
You're going to the Conference Finals. I would be
tired of losing, but when it comes to my team, none of that would matter to me. You know, I would understand the magnitude of myself being a part of that team. This is my team. this is my team. You need to come over here and join me. And if you can't do it, we'll find somebody else to go do that. And I'm going to be mad at management if they don't do it. But then that's just me again. I'm the type of person that would try to fight through it. You know, LeBron is not that type of person. People don't really even realize LeBron can go out there and do all that scoring and stuff because he can. That's not really his game. LeBron want to go out there and be Magic Johnson or somebody, and I love him for it. That's why I think he's the best player in the game.
Right.
The boy can do everything on the floor. I like what that boy can do. You can't say nothing about what that boy do in between them stripes, man. That boy, he goes out there and he does his thing.
And see, when they took that boy, he was 18 years old out of high school. I mean, right out of high school.
Kid.
You know what I mean? He was a boy. He's a man now. He has a family. And let me tell you something. I don't fault no man or any of these players for getting more money, because if I could get more money when I was working, I'd have took it too. You know what I mean? You can't fault no man for signing for more money or changing teams or doing what they do. You know, basketball is sports is such a short-lived thing. You know, it's not like these guys are working after basketball. You know what I mean? They got to live on.
And I totally agree with you, Royce. I totally agree. You know, but it wasn't necessarily about the money, in my opinion.
Right.
I think it's just LeBron James and his personality. I mean, he's kind of passive when he gets on the court. He knows when to be aggressive, but you saw him in high school. He could have been hitting 100 points a game, but I got all these other cats on my team. The one thing that he didn't realize, you know, that I would have been thinking about, you know, is Dwayne Wade. Look at here, man, I want to win more than you.
Right.
He ain't going to ever be able to do that. As long as he's playing with Dwayne Wade, Dwayne Wade is going to have one more championship than him.
That's true, but he don't have any. He won't have one.
Exactly. But if he gets one, Dwayne Wade's going to have two.
That's okay.
That's my point.
It's just like the Super Bowl. What team is – I mean, you don't remember teams that don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, you know what I mean? You remember Super Bowl winning teams. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
but you do remember the person that was that had the highest stature in the team that went out and won 5, 6, and 7 championships.
Yeah.
And you remember that person. Michael Jordan has gone out and he's won his. You know, Kobe Bryant, he can always say that he's won more than Shaq. You remember things like that. You know, and Dwayne Wade, I mean, me and you, we cool. I mean, I like you. Yeah, we do our thing, whatever, hang out. But I got to beat you when we on the court, bro. I got to beat you. But then again, that's my mentality, though. You know, maybe LeBron is just not like that. LeBron just say, look, I want to go out there and win some championships, and you can't fault him for that. Can't fault him for that.
Well, y'all know how I feel about LeBron. I think he's a hell of a player. I don't think he's the best player in the NBA. Y'all know who I think the best player on the planet is.
Well, you got Kobe Niders. You know that. It's a sickness.
Well, I mean, my point is, Kobe wouldn't have did that. Kobe would have said, hey, man, you either come here and play, or we're going to find Mbanga, we're going to find Jordan Farmer, we're going to find Sasha Vujicic, we're going to find Lamar Odom, Ron Artest, we're going to grab us a piece, we're going to win us a title. Period.
Kobe would have went to another team, it would have been a team where you can undoubtedly say, this is my team. He would have went to one of those sorry teams that was just paying him a whole lot of money or something. Kobe has got that mentality. Now, I think LeBron James is the best player in the game, you know, but I know I'm probably going to make a lot of listeners mad. You know, it's just a thing that I have, you know, against Kobe. You know, and that whole personality situation. I'm not really with that, but let me tell you something about Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is one of those very few players that's done come through the league that have absolutely no flaws to his game. Kobe Bryant is special on the court. The only reason why I say Kobe Bryant is not the best player in the game is because he's starting to get a little older and he's starting to get them injuries in him, and LeBron is taking that thing over, in my opinion. But Kobe Bryant can do everything you want on the floor. He shoot free throws. He can handle a rock. He score inside, outside. He D up. I mean, whatever you want him to do, Kobe can do that, man. Anybody that say Kobe Bryant can't hoop don't know what they talking about.
Kobe Bryant was just going at one time. He was talking about leaving the Lakers. You remember that, Rodney? They went and got him some, man. They got Paul Gasol. He wouldn't have won no championship without Paul. He wouldn't have won it without Shaq.
I can't disagree with you. But Kobe stayed there and said, bring somebody to me. I'm not going to go nowhere.
Same thing. LeBron asked the same thing every year. It got to the playoffs. You need somebody to win a championship. They didn't do that.
Yeah. And I agree. That's not LeBron. That's not LeBron's fault. That's management's fault. LeBron wanted that same stuff. Go get somebody.
Who's he get, Rodney?
Yeah, get me the good Shaq. Don't go get me the bad Shaq. I know what LeBron is thinking out there, man.
All right, hold on real quick, y'all. We got to welcome in a special caller real quick. And Royce, you know this guy should have called us on Tuesday. You know who I'm talking about. He should have called me on Tuesday.
I'm going to
welcome him in real quick. Hold on 1 second real quick. I know this guy. This can be Houston Joe, I know.
It's me. Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, he sounds so dejected.
Hey, Joe, I held on for you, Joe. I held the ground for you.
Sure, man. But yeah, I have to work Tuesday. I'm man of my word, so I called in the next time I could. But yeah, the Cowboys, I gotta give it to them. They did that. It was a good game for y'all. You know.
They got lucky.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. We appreciate that on the show when a man can state his opinion and then call back and also not admit that he was wrong. I like that. I really like that, man. I commend you on that.
Yeah, nobody's going to get them all right, Brandon. Nobody's going to get them all right. They got lucky. Hey, I'm with you, man. You know, I'm full of
yeah,
Houston, too.
Ain't no way in form am I, like, giving up on the Texans, though. We got to regroup. We got the Raiders on Sunday, so it's going to get off, you know, get the everybody back motivated, and we're going to get back to what we're doing, but...
Joe, I do need to be honest with you, man. I picked the Raiders to beat y'all this week.
Oh, man, what you doing?
He's over there tripping.
I mean, he shouldn't have done that. How you doing, Houston Joe? This Rick, man. Hey, I'm my bad on what the Cowboys did to him last week. I wanted the Cowboys to win just like I want them to win every week. But if it's of any consolation, I picked the Houston Texans to beat the Raiders on Sunday, man.
You're a smart man, but this is my thing. It's like they caught the L against the Cowboys. Now they about to have that chip on their shoulder because everybody's saying like, oh, it was a fluke. No, those couple wins were a fluke. So they're going to have that chip on their shoulder. They're going to play even harder now. So it's going to be a good look.
Well, I got to admit to you, I did pick the Raiders to beat y'all in the upset, man.
You know, and it don't matter who has the best record at the end of the season, which I think Houston will have over the Cowboys. So I'm still with Houston. I still my team. I'm still behind them.
Yeah. Like, as far as the Cowboys go, it's like even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. So I'm not really tripping off of that little loss there. But like I said, we're going to regroup and get it back together.
That's all there, Cole. How you do, you boy?
Now, do you follow basketball pretty close, Joe?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, I heard y'all talking about the whole LeBron and going to the Heat. So I've heard about that.
You think now LeBron's been in the news today because he says that he feels like some of the media coverage he got by making the switch and having the press conference, the negative press, the burning in the jersey. All it was basically a lot of it was race motivated. You think it was a race factor or just a sports?
Well, I don't know about any of the race thing, but what really trips me out is nobody talked about the Heat's biggest acquisition. You know, people didn't really talk about this. I saw on SportsCenter that they just signed Barack Obama to the Heat for 2 more years, and basically whenever they lose a game, he just gonna veto it. So they about to be undefeated the whole season.
That's a good one.
Stop talking to me, man.
That's a good one. I ain't heard that one yet.
I'm going to use it, though.
I do think it's a little bit racially motivated, though, man. Like, I think if, let's say back in the day it was John Stockton or something like that, if he'd have made a move like that, they'd have been like, he's smart. You know, he's doing the smart thing, but I do think it's a little bit racially motivated, though.
Yeah.
But do you think John Stockton would have done it in the media the way he did it? Even though he did it on SportsCenter, he made the money and he donated the money to the Boys Club and all that, which was good. But do you think John Stockton would have done something like that?
Well, see, the NBA is a lot different now than it was back then as far as how big marketing is. And I don't know if the 100% was his idea. Maybe it was the idea of the Heat, too, to bring that attention to Miami. No, because I'm pretty sure after the announcement, they start selling airplane tickets, people going to Miami. They start selling hotels of people, you know, going on vacation there. So I think it was more so a marketing, you know, a marketing plot.
Yeah.
But, you know, Showtime is back. You know, they like, it's free publicity. And let me tell you something. If it was me, mine would have been bigger than people. I would have had the whole world watching. You know what I mean? It would have been a big thing. It would have been huge. It would have been worldwide.
You bring up a good point. Anytime you want to really know what's going on, all you got to do is follow the dollars, and they'll usually tell you what's really going on.
Right.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. So what do you think the score is going to be on Sunday? You think the Texans are going to really beat up on the Raiders? Or you think maybe I'm right, they're going to lose this game?
No, you're not right, man. They're not going to lose. But they're not going to do them too bad. You know, they probably going to be in a good mood. I'll go ahead and call the score. It's going to be, it's not even going to be that bad. 21-14. I say 21-14.
And he's mighty generous, to be honest with you. Who's going to go out there and score 14 points? Jason Campbell.
Oh, that's going
to Bruce Gretkowski. What's their quarterback name?
They're going to recruit some of the refs.
You know what I'm saying? Please, man. Houston going to smash them boys.
Yeah, we're going to see, man. So we're going to see Yao Ming in the Rockets uniform this year?
That's what I want to know, too, man. I forgot what Yao Ming looked like. It's been a while since I've seen him. So if you see him, let me know.
I will, man.
Let me ask you a quick question there, Houston Joe. What you think about that whole Tracy McGrady situation, man? Do they like that, man?
Hey, do not get me started on Tracy McGrady. I remember when he first was being traded to the Rockets, I was like, yeah, that's what's up. I was talking to my dad. He was like, who is this?
Love it.
Yeah, I was like, he about to make a change. We about to go there. But the thing is, man, it's like, that's why I don't like when people compare Kobe to Tracy McGrady, because Tracy doesn't have that heart. That's what he's missing. He doesn't have that heart. That's like, he always got stopped, you know, first round. You know, he couldn't do anything because he didn't have that heart when it came down to it to put everything on his back and win it like Kobe does. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Kobe fan. I don't like Kobe the person. I don't care for him, but you can't deny his game, though, and you can't deny the heart that he got on the court. So
what you think? What you think? How you think the fan – I mean, what is the fan reaction to even having McGrady in? I mean, I know he's not there no more, but do you think that you guys were cheated by having McGrady there so long?
Yeah, honestly, and a lot of people, you know, really in Houston thought we should have got rid of him, you know, because it seemed like it was always something when I'm like, oh, my back, you know, whatever. Then somebody see him in the club later on that night. This, like I said, no heart, no dedication to the team. But it's Tracy McGrady. He was over a while ago. I'm glad he out of there. Basically, the Rockets, we just need to rebuild. And we kind of got cheated with the Yao Ming thing because he was playing in the NBA, then he was back doing and playing in China. And first of all, a guy that big, you know, they really don't have a lot of years in them anyway. So when you basically you're playing two seasons every year, it's going to take a toll on you. So
I think
they need to bring Hakeem Olajuwon back.
Hakeem will probably be shaking some of these guys.
They didn't bring Tracy there to be hurt all season. They brought him there to take him over the top. He didn't do that. He didn't produce. And you got to have somebody that's going to be out on the court, not laying on their stomach, you know what I mean, or hurt. So they did get cheated. I think so.
I sure guess it's a matter of where you're from because, you know, I thought Tracy McGrady was, a damn good player. And, you know, I couldn't really, you know, be upset at him, you know, for his injuries, you know what I mean? That if he's out there faking the injuries, you know, that's one thing, but, you know, that back is something else. You know, I know I felt like, anyway, Tracy McGrady, you know, when he was on the court, he gave it to him. I mean, even in the playoffs, I just don't think Houston had those playoff-built teams. You know, Tracy was giving you your 30s and 35.
Yeah, but it wasn't a nightly thing, though. It wasn't a nightly thing. It wasn't as consistent as maybe a Kobe, you know. It wasn't
– Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes he'd do it. He'd put on a show. You know, he definitely would, but it wasn't a nightly thing. I don't think he was willing enough to always put the team on his back, you know, to like Kobe would do, saying, like, you know, I got to get this done.
But, yeah, especially going so long without getting out the first round. I mean, for a guy, his talent is ridiculous to me.
That
he can't get
but
out
is that
first
his
round.
Fault, though? Is that
his
fault,
fault,
you know
man.
What I'm saying?
Yes, his fault. When you got to be that guy, put the team on your back, you should welcome that challenge.
Man, it takes more than, in my opinion, more than one player to do that. I think it was really only one successful team that had just that one top-notch player, and everybody else was, you know, kind of, you know, I can do pretty much what you need me to do, but I'm not in that upper echelon. And that was that Houston team that won, you know, when they had Olajuwon and then, you know, a bunch of other players out there. You know, and they was able to do that. But any other team out there, man, I haven't seen it. It takes more than just one, even if you're that superstar. Look at your coach, Kevin Garnett.
I think he was on to something, man. We do need to bring Olajuwon back. Just go ahead and bring him, Sleepy Floyd, Vernon Maxwell.
Sam
Patel, bring him and his head back. So
could you imagine what Sleepy Floyd looked like right now?
If he looks sleepy back then, we're going to have to revive him now.
He looked sleepy when he was 21, when he was Georgetown. He looked sleepy then.
And Rodney, Tracy McGrady played just like his cousin. All I got to say is some of his cousin's career. Same thing Tracy McGrady. No matter where he go, they ain't going to win. You know, he still sometimes he hit 30 points, then other time he quiet. He played just like his cousin, man. Am I right?
I'm with you, man. Listen, if teammates not playing in the game, we're doing this Steve Francis thing, trying to party in the club, then I got to call foul on that one, man. I appreciate the insight on that. I got to call foul on that.
Foul. Yeah. Oh, I bet Steve Francis in the club all the time too. And I ain't seen him in the club one time, but I can bet my bottom dollar that he was.
Yep. All right. Well, I appreciate the call, though, man. I thank you for calling in, man, and doing your thing. Now I expect to hear from you on Tuesday when the Raiders surprise and beat y'all, man.
Oh, now you're gonna hear from me when the Raiders get beat. You know, because this ain't no way. Don't get caught up in the hype, man. That's all I gotta say. Like Flavor Flav said, don't believe the hype, man.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, bro.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Peace. See, that's a good man right there. Kyle's in when his team loses and admits he was wrong. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there.
I sure wish we can get that out of Royce, don't you?
Yeah,
last
man.
Last week I had to hear it by myself when Dallas won. I didn't have no help. So, I had to kick all both of y'all last week by myself. So, we abandoned it. That's what happened. I needed it last week.
All right, we got the picks in. We got all the picks in. If you guys could go to rsportsradio.blogspot.com and get a chance. I'm going to put up everybody's picks. I'm going to put everybody's picks on the board so everybody knows what they pick. There won't be no questions come Tuesday when the show comes on. But y'all keep staying tuning in. The show, of course, is at blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. You can follow the show, listen to the old shows. Especially this show, y'all can listen to this up until Tuesday if you need to rearrange your picks or something, or think we're lying about the picks. And make sure you check out the website. Before we let go, man, we want to say, can't say go Cowboys this week, so we're going to say go Rangers.
Well,
Rangers
are
going
to
start the playoffs next week.
Can
you
I say
what?
Go
ahead.
Can I say, okay, I want to negotiate my contract, so after the show, can you come see me?
You ain't gonna hold out on him, are you, Roy?
Yeah, we in contact with Steve. He announced it at the beginning of the show. So next week, if I'm not here, you know we didn't resolve it. I'm gonna be a holdout. So I look forward to talking to everybody next week. But who knows? We'll see how it goes. I might have to put a LeBron James on it. So we'll see.
All right, and Rick, you know you always, I've always appreciated the man you calling in and your opinions.
Right, welcome.
And we thank y'all for tuning in for the show. We see y'all Tuesday, same time, same channel, 9 to 11 next Tuesday and Thursday. And until then, see y'all next week. Go Rangers.